The Mike Wagner Show is powered by Sonic Web Studios.
Hi, this is Mia Mohsen-Zia, also known as Mia No Time for Love. Check out my latest book, Missing, available in print and ebook formats on Amazon.
It's now time for The Mike Wagner Show, powered by Sonic Web Studios and sponsored by international award-winning author Mia Mohsen-Zia of Missing. The Mike Wagner Show can be heard on over 40 podcast platforms, as well as HamiltonRadio.net, Diamonds FM, and TheMikeWagnerShow.com. We can be heard in over 100 countries, featuring over 1,000 well-known and amazing guests throughout the globe, and named one of the top 100 global podcasts in the New York Weekly Times, Hollywood Entertainment News, Los Angeles Weekly Times, Apple, and Chartable. So sit back and relax and enjoy another great episode of the award-winning Mike Wagner Show.
Hey, everybody, it's Mike from the Mike Wagner Show, powered by Sonic Web Studios and brought to you by official sponsor of the Mike Wagner Show, international warring author Mia Mohsen-Zia Missing, available on Amazon and paperback and ebook. We're here with a terrific gentleman who's an award-winning actor, producer, director from South Africa, began his career at the age of two with his parents and inducted to the Screen Actors Guild back in 88. He's written in numerous films, including A Gift of the Heart. We'll talk about that. He was also involved with Maybelline Molly and Me and also Simple Gifts, Mack the Knife, Cold Case, Crime Stoppers, Unsolved Mysteries, and more. We'll go over a good list of it or try to get a chunk of it. And of course, he's got a new movie out, which basically won 47 global awards and 22 in TV. And it's a comedy horror film premiering on, it's going on Amazon Prime. And from what I understand, it's still growing as well. And what this movie is about, it's called Grinders, and it's from Maximus Films. And what is the Grinders? We'll find out in just 1 minute. Live, ladies and gentlemen, plus two is in beautiful downtown Orlando, Florida. It's sunny out there right now. The amazing actor, producer, multi-talented director from South Africa, and also the new movie winning 47 global awards and 22 in TV, the amazing film Grinders from Maximus Films. Ladies and gentlemen, multi-talented Andrew Heller. Andrew, good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Thanks for joining us today.
Good morning, good afternoon, and I feel exceptionally honored to be recognized by you and having the opportunity to speak with you and give your answers as into how my life has been and how it is. Mm-hmm. So you fire away with the questions, and I'll be more than happy to answer every single one of them.
Well, it's great to have you on board. That's the main thing, Andrew. I know you're out in the beautiful sun in Orlando, Florida as well. And you're a multi-talented actor, producer, director from South Africa. You began a career at two with your parents. You were inducted in the Screen Actors Guild in 88. You've written in numerous films, including A Gift of the Heart. You've also been involved with Maybelline, Molly and Me, Simple Gifts, Mack a Knife, Cold Case, Crime Stoppers, Unsolved Mysteries, and more. And, of course, you have a new release, which won 47 global awards and 22 in TV, and a comedy horror film, which is going on Amazon Prime, called Grinders from Maximus Films. You also did Gift of the Heart, and you also been in a number of films as well, too. And it keeps growing and growing. And before getting to Grinders and more, Andrew, tell us how you first got started.
Oh, wow. Well, actually, that's the easiest question of everything. Because my mom was into theater and my dad wasn't, but he kind of went along. My mom kind of convinced him to do that. And I grew up with theater from the age of 2, 3, 4 years old. And my mom had me on the stage doing cabaret shows because I was also a singer. Mm-hmm. So she would put me on at the end of the cabaret shows because we would do that on the weekend when I wasn't at school or at the nursery, which is what we called it in South Africa, you know, not the daycare. And it just kind of grew from there. And I fell in love with what I was doing and loved it. And my mother supported me heavily. My dad wasn't so sure. He wanted me to be a doctor.
And of course,
So here I am, you know, at 63, and I love what I do, you know. I really do.
Mm-hmm. And certainly do as well, too. And what was that one precise moment that simply influenced you into what you're doing for the rest of your career? Besides the cabaret and everything, what was that one moment that simply indicated to you, this is what I want to do?
This is going to sound really weird because some people are going to say, at 9 years old, you're a little freaky. It was actually one of the dancers that was my babysitter that worked in the cabaret.
Oh my gosh.
And to this day, I'll never forget her. I can't remember her name now, but she wore glasses. So every time I see a woman with glasses, it turns me on. And I think it's because of that. But she used to take me to the movies. And you know, we saw musicals back in the day. In the 60s, you know, Seven Brides for Seven Brothers, Paint Your Wagon, you know, you name it. That's when musicals were like really hot. And I had this hot looking chick, you know, I'm 9. She's like 19, 20, going to college. And it was her job to babysit me. And she thought, well, you know, he's into the movies. And my mom said, I loved it. And all that kind of stuff. I love to sing. I'd sing. I'd act. And so she would take me to the musicals. And that's really what got me. And I didn't just fall in love with film and television and music. At 9 years old, I was a nasty little bugger and fell in love with her. Of course.
Now, come on, babe. Be in the movies. Not me, please, will ya?
Yeah, you know, she's 12 years older than me, but she was absolutely gorgeous. And she had these very deep red rimmed glasses. And, you know, she always wore like maroon lipstick. And the funny thing is that my entire life, I love that color, and I still love that color. I went to a school that the colors were maroon and gold.
Huh.
To this day, I still love those colors, and it's her fault.
Blame the girl, why don't you? Blame the girl. You know, that's a good name for a movie. Blame the girl.
She was an absolute sweetheart. You know, I remember meeting her with my mother, probably when I was in my late teens. We went to visit her and her husband and her kids and everything. And I sat down with her and I said, you know, I've been in love with you since I was 9. And she just kind of laughed and she said, that's okay. You were a good kid. And she said, you have an enormous amount of talent. And I never saw her or spoke to her again after that, but you know, I had to come clean. I was like, man, I was 9 years old and I was like, I was ready. You know, I was like, what an idiot. You know, I'm 9 years old. Where do you think you're going with this one? You know?
Exactly. You're right. And here you are appearing in a number of films and everything else. And of course, you know, you had a number of influences and everything else. And who are some of your favorite actors and producers and directors growing up?
Oh my gosh. The list that I have is way too long for me to remember. I've had a couple of accidents along the way, 2 brain hemorrhages. So my memory can sometimes be a little shaky, but some of the most, I think, effectual people that affected my talent, my acting, my directing, and some of them I met and some I didn't. Alfred Hitchcock, Martin Scorsese, Clint Eastwood, from all different genres. I mean, I was into, and I still am, I'm into all different genres. I'm not stuck to one thing. Actors, some of them were a little freaky, but one of them that stick, a couple of them that stuck out the most was, yeah, man, what was his name? See, this is where the brain hemorrhages come in and block me. Was, damn it. Okay, let me think of one of the others.
Or should we say what movie was it? Maybe I could help you with it.
Well, he played a cowboy. It was Walt Whitman.
Walt Whitman. I was just going to say John Wayne, but Walt Whitman's probably the right answer.
Walt Whitman, the big guy. He was in a whole bunch of things, like what's his name? The movie something Navy. I can't remember the first part of it, but he was great. He was awesome. Yeah, it's hard unless I have a list in front of me, because my list is so long, it's hard to kind of recall all of them. But of course, you always know who the bad ones are, and I'm not going to mention them. But but for the most part, the person who gave me my break, and this was in 1998, doing Superboy, the first 13 episodes, was he was a child actor, and I don't have the book in front of me, and now the name's gone. But he was awesome. And everybody would know his name. They would know his name. I met all the guys from, you know, I'm sorry, the brain is not functioning the way it should. But I've met so many actors that were just astounding. And as we discuss, things will pop up and some of my memory will trigger some of the people I've met that were just outstanding. Joe Don Baker. Oh my gosh. From Texas. He and I spent so much time talking together. It was amazing. He was just a wonderful person. Martin Scorsese. I mean,
one of my favorites. Oh my gosh.
Oh my God. What a brilliant director. And I was just back then, this is like in late 1980s, and I was playing Joe Don Baker's double in the remake of Cape Fear down in Fort Lauderdale. And they were just so incredibly nice to me.
Nice.
And even Martin Scorsese, he was just a lovely, lovely person. And nobody bothered me. I didn't interrupt anybody unnecessarily. I maintained my set protocols and professionalism. And he would walk over and he'd say, good job. And I go, thank you so much. Can I talk to you for a minute? He said, sure, I got a couple minutes. And we'd chat, and I'd ask him questions about how he got in the business, you know, how he did what he did and how his visions were. And that's how I learned. I mean, I learned from exceptionally good people, exceptionally good actors and stars that were very welcoming and very free with their advice. But there was always a set protocol and a time and a place to put yourself in that position where you could either one, take a picture, or two, discuss the industry. And nine times out of 10, if you put yourself in that place, it was extremely, you know, entertaining and knowledgeable. And I gained an enormous amount of knowledge. And a lot of them said, you know, we don't talk to a lot of people, but you seem to be very like relaxed and laid back. And I said, well, I'm a newbie. I don't know diddly. Mm-hmm. I want to learn and grow in the industry. And they'd say, well, you know, we got a little bit of time. We'll sit over lunch. And we'd sit over lunch.
Nice. You know,
with everybody else, they'd say, no, we don't want to sit in a trailer and get special treatment. We want to sit with the crew and the cast and everybody. And they'd sit with me and they'd say, Andrew, come over here and sit with us and talk. And we would talk about the industry, and they'd give me insight into, you know, the acting technicalities, the way things work and how they grew up in the industry. And one of the biggest things that stuck out to me was the good ones always said to me, when you get somewhere, always look down to the lowest one on the ladder and put your hand out and help them up. That was the only thing they ever asked for me. And that's what I've done my entire life. I'm always looking to help someone that's trying to make a path forward, because this industry is extremely difficult. It's very hard and exceptionally competitive.
Mm-hmm. And cutthroat as well, too. I think he gave some great advice that you just ask for their time, couple questions, everything. Of course, you know, some people like to mob up. And I think that's a good reminder for those who want to get in the industry. Just go back to classic protocol, what you did. I think it was great. And of course, you know, just another thing popped up. What are some of your favorite films growing up?
Film scoring?
No, just movies in general.
I'm sorry, I misunderstood you.
I said, what were some of your favorite films growing up?
Oh, my gosh. I loved Seven Brides for Seven Brothers. I loved musicals because I sung. Of course, I was way too big, way too tall to be a dancer. Although I did do a stage show where I did dance. And I played a cowboy. The Sound of Music, The Wizard of Oz, anything Hitchcock, I loved. I just loved the way he presented things. I love things that Spielberg did starting out. They just really got my attention. Just the way he went into detail and really created the characters, gave you so much subtext, you know, probably one of the best ones he ever did. And probably a lot of people say was E.T. I mean, it just got me. Well, I've always had an interest in that anyway. So I already had an immediate interest in that, but there's so many great directors that just come out of nowhere. And I've tried to learn, and I Sergio Leone. I mean, he was known for the spaghetti western, right?
Oh yeah.
But his intellect and his intent and the way he did things was so far beyond that. It was so, there was some brilliance there, you know, and you really had to pay attention to the technicalities. And I think a lot of people missed some really, really great directors, writers, performers. What's her name? I had it and then it went. She played the detective in Silence of the Lambs.
Oh, Jodie Foster.
Jodie Foster is not only is she a brilliant actress, but she is actually an exceptional director. She's very, very good. I've watched her material. I've studied her material. Ron Howard's another one.
He is a really good one.
That he's just, you know, you wouldn't think. He just kind of dropped off. He's Opie, you know? Mm-hmm. But damn, he's good. He's really, really good when it comes to directorial details. So I've learned so much. So what I've done my whole life is not only just be an actor, is I actually had my union cards for in front of the camera, behind the camera, and everything else you can think of at one point. And everybody asked me why. And I said, well, as a writer and a creative, the more I know how the mechanism works, the greater I can create as a writer, because I understand how the mechanics work.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand the cost of what it takes to make it work, because people don't realize the cost is horrendous at some point when you get to doing all this stuff, and all the people and all the egos and everything else you have to deal with just become overwhelming at some point. And if you want to be in the film industry and you really want to do something good, you have to learn to go to the bathroom, brush your teeth, eat your breakfast, and when you walk out the door, leave the ego at the house. Because you don't have time for all the other nonsense. You have to deal with all this other stuff that's going on and make it work, because you're going to have to. You're going to have to mollycoddle some people, other people you're not going to, other people will help you, some people will not. And you just have to learn to be a good manager. And, I'm lucky enough, thank you, Jesus, to be a good manager and understand that I cannot walk on water. And sometimes I have two ears, one mouth, which means I have to listen twice as hard and speak half as much. I gain a lot more that way by listening and paying attention. And my actors, when I'm directing, always say, you're just incredible. You just happen to have the right things to say. And it's because I have this well-rounded global vision of everything, because I've been on every side of it. So I understand it not only from an actor's point of view, the crew's point of view, everybody's point of view. And the crews go, how did you know that? And I'm going, I don't have time to explain. This is what I want you to do. Let's just move through it and be happy. And every morning when I'm on set, when I'm playing director, producer, I go, okay, guys, let's get everybody together, actors included. We have 15 minutes. And they go, for what? Grab a cup of coffee, grab a donut, whatever it is you need to do other than the breakfast you've already had. And let's talk about what we're going to do today. And if you have an opinion or a view or a like or a dislike, let's hear about it so that we can make this day smooth and happy. Because a happy crew makes for a happy film, and it makes for a great film, and it saves you money. And that's what movies are all about, is making it inside the budget you have and making it a happy place to be in, where your crew and your cast want to come to work because they don't want to deal with an ass. They don't want to deal with somebody that's a dictator. And I'm like, there are going to be times where I'm going to say, guys, that's not what I want. But if you communicate every morning and you say, okay, what happened yesterday that didn't work so that we can fix it today? And they'd say it. And I said, okay, well, then we'll fix it. And every day that goes by, we improve on it. And by the end, everybody's happy. It's like, wow, that was awesome, because everybody feels like they've taken part in the production, even though they have no say. I try to consider everybody's point of view to make sure that we're moving smoothly and quickly and getting the product done. That's it. It's a business.
And shows in well too, like with A Gift from the Heart, and you got Grinders coming up, and more with the multi-talented award-winning actor, producer, director from South Africa, Andrew Heller. But first, listen to the Mike Wagner Show at themikewagnershow.com, powered by Sonic Web Studios. Visit online at sonicwebstudios.com for all your needs. Look at a professional website without breaking your budget. Sonic Web Studios is the answer. Sonic Web Studios offers fast, affordable custom web designs that blow the competition away. Call today, 1-800-303-3960. That's 1-800-303-3960. Or email to support@sonicwebstudios.com. Mention Mike Wagner's Show, get 20% off your first product. Sonic Web Studios, take your image to the next level. Also, time to give official shout-out to our official sponsor, The Mike Wagner Show, international warring author Mia Molson-Zia. If you love fast-paced mysteries, you'll love Missing by Mia Molson-Zia, available on Amazon and paperback and ebook. Missing is fast-paced and intriguing with an unforgettable twist. Takes place in four countries, two strangers, one target, where truth is illusion and those that love you to first go missing. It's available on Amazon and paperback and ebook. Missing by Mia Melson Zia has garnered great reviews. And Eve 11 endorsed by Howard celebrities, including Joanna Cassidy, Forge Riley, and Eminem's. So grab your copy today for girls Missing by Mia Melson Zia, available on Amazon. Also, check out The Mike Wagner Show at themikewagnershow.com on our 40 podcast platforms. Heard in 100 countries, including Facebook, SoundCloud, Spreaker, Spotify, and iHeartRadio. Also, Podbean, Pandora, Apple, Odyssey, BitChute, Rumble, YouTube. Make sure you subscribe. Follow us on Facebook, LinkedIn, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, and more. Make sure you take us with you on any mobile device. And for great gift ideas, go to Amazon.com. Check out the Mike Wagner Show podcast. T-shirts, pop sockets, throw pillows, tote bags, hoodies. Makes great gifts 24/7. Go to Amazon.com. Check out the Mike Wagner Show podcast. And for more great gift ideas, go to Amazon.com/MiaMelsonZia for great books like Missing, Once, and Wrinkles. Also T-shirts, pop sockets, hoodies, phone cases, and more. Amazon.com/MiaMelsonZia. Check it out today and support the Mike Wagner Show on Anchor FM, PayPal, and themikewagnershow.com. We're here with the multi talented actor, producer, director from South Africa, Andrew Heller, here on the Mike Wagner Show. And before we talk about your latest Grinders, which is from Maximus Films, you created and you talk about First Baby, A Gift of the Heart, and tell us more about that one.
That's my passion project. I was born to an American father with a South African mother, and then I migrated to the United States. So I am, strictly speaking, an African American, but I love America with all my heart. I love this country. I love the people in the country, and I love the industry. A Gift of the Heart came about because I was just starting to transition. I'd been writing since I was eight. I actually have two books that are going to come out next year, volume one and volume two. I started out writing poetry. So I have like 48 years worth of poetry. So there's going to be volume one and volume two.
Mm-hmm.
But I wanted to transition into screenplay writing, which is what got me into all the other areas. Because I said, the more I know, the more clued in I am into how to write a screenplay that brings all those elements into play. Unfortunately for me, the first one I wrote was A Gift of the Heart. Not unfortunately for everybody else. It's a great story. Everybody absolutely loves it. The book is out there. They can get it at MaximusFilms.com. And it's not M-A-X-I, it's M-A-X-A, which is actually named after my youngest son. who kind of made fun of me because he said, why would you name your film company and your site after me? I said, because we have the same birthday. And I said, at your age, we put our pictures together. We looked identical. And I said, you're as stubborn as me.
Because he's Maximum. That's why.
He's Maximus at everything. I couldn't get him to budge if my life depended on it. So I said, you know what? What the hell? I'll name it after that. So what happened was my mother got diagnosed with terminal cancer. And it went on with surgery after surgery and treatment after treatment. It went on for 3 years, and it was very debilitating and emotionally distracting, and it hurt me a lot. I mean, my mom was my biggest fan, so
mm-hmm.
she always supported me. The rest of the family were like, get a real job kind of thing. You know, you don't have any idea. Acting and being in the film industry is a bigger job than you'll ever have. It's way more complicated than you think. And that's where A Gift of the Heart came from. And I came up with the story before she died. And I called it A Gift of the Heart. And I used kids to send a message. And the message to the world is, pay attention to the people that are around you and you may or may not love, whether they're black, green, orange, or come from another freaking planet. And this is what this book does. It's not political. It doesn't say anything about anything other than tell you a story about one kid that ends up in America coming from a raft from Cuba with his dad who loses their mother is how the whole story starts out. And then you jump 16 years later and he forges this friendship with a very rich little Jewish girl who has a heart that's stuck in stasis, all scientifically figured out and everything else. And the little boy develops glioblastoma multiforme, which is an incurable, very aggressive brain cancer.
Oh my goodness.
And the story is predominantly about their friendship, the friction between the father who lost his sister to an illegal immigrant, who doesn't want to accept the fact that his daughter is friends with, you know, an immigrant Cuban. Mm-hmm. So all the subtext is there. But in the end result, the little boy gives up his heart, even though it's illegal by law still to donate an organ from a cancer patient to somebody that needs an organ. And mm-hmm. that's something that I would like to see changed, because not every organ is not donatable just because you have cancer. There are organs that are still viable. And that was my purpose behind the film. And what I want to do is give 100% of whatever the net proceeds are from making this film, which I think will ultimately and could possibly be an Oscar winner if I can fund it the way I want to and have the right actors in it, to children that are fighting and battling cancer, and try to get the law changed so that if there is a viable organ, even though they are diagnosed with cancer, that that organ can be used to save a child's life. You know, as older people, you know, we're going to go. I mean, what's the point? But children, their whole lives are ahead of them. So that's my passion project. And I've lost my mother to cancer. I've lost my sister to cancer. I've lost three friends that I grew up with and went to school with that were my best friends to cancer. I lost my best friend from the military, buried him in Arlington to cancer. So that for me is very, very, very personal. Mm-hmm. And I really want to make that movie. And everybody that reads that book, and they can actually get the book at lulu.com. If they go to lulu.com, they can actually order the book, get it directly from them. But that to me is my passion project. There's lots of other movies I want to make that are not horror movies or dark comedies, that are all different genres, because right. that's just how my brain works. But A Gift of the Heart is my passion project. That's the one where I'm not only talking about the pain and the anguish in a story without really making people feel bad or overwhelmed by the subject matter, but just telling a story about two kids that just have this great relationship and all the subtexts and dynamics that go on underneath, that finally in the ultimate result come to an end when he passes away and gives up his heart. And the doctor says, I'm an old doctor. He says, look, I'm 2 months away from retiring. I don't care if I go to jail. But he wants to give up his heart for his best friend, which is this lovely young girl.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the only way we can save her, because she has a very unique blood type. And it just so happens it matches. And that's what he says to his dad. He says, when I pass, I want my heart to go to Sydney. So that's why it's called A Gift of the Heart, because he passes and the doctor goes, I don't care if I go to jail. I don't care if I'm breaking the law. I'm going to take the heart and I'm going to put it in her. And one of the last things is when you see the father listening to the heartbeat in the girl's chest. And the two of these people that have hated each other because he's Cuban and he's an elitist lawyer come together and they go, you know what? All this other erroneous crap means nothing when it comes down to purely just living.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what the story tells. It's just a lovely, you know, it's a lovely story.
All right. And certainly does as well, too. Get more on that. Of course, the number one thing he's got right now is Grindrs from Maximus Films. And what is Grindrs? We'll find out just what it meant with the multi-talented Andrew Heller. You listen to The Mike Wagner Show at themikewagnershow.com, powered by Sonic Web Studios, and brought to you by official sponsor of The Mike Wagner Show, international warring author Mia Mosley's Missing. We'll be back with the multi-talented actor, producer, director from South Africa, Andrew Heller, after this time.
The Mike Wagner Show is powered by Sonic Web Studios. If you're looking to start or upgrade your online presence, visit www.sonicwebstudios.com for all of your online needs. Call 1-800-303-3960 or visit us online at www.sonicwebstudios.com to get started today. Mention The Mike Wagner Show and get 20% off your project. Sonic Web Studios, take your image to the next level.
Hey everybody, my name is Forbes Riley, and I'm an American actress and a TV host. And I was delighted when I got my copy of Missing, which is Extraordinary Relation of Ordinary People Based on a Real Life Relationship. It's well written, it's amazing. You know, it talks about a man who has lost his wife and his daughter, and it's very well done. I'm gonna highly recommend that you go get your copy of Missing. It is a powerful, exciting read. Mr. Mian Moshe Zia, he is the author of Missing. And I wanna give a big shout out and a kiss all the way halfway around the world to my dear friend. Check him out at Mia's website. It's called www.miamoshenzea.com. Missing, available on Amazon. Again, I'm Forbes Riley, and I will see you again soon. Bye-bye.
Hey, hey, this is Ray Powers, and boy, are you in luck. Right place, right time. Tuned in to The Mike Wagner Show. You heard me.
We're back, the amazing, multi-talented actor, producer, director from South Africa, Andrew Heller, here on The Mike Wagner Show. We talked about The Gift of the Heart. We talked about some of his experience and a bit on a cold case, Maybelline, Molly, and more. But your big one, Grindrs, that's currently out on Amazon right now. And tell us more about Grindrs.
Okay, so first, before I delve into Grindrs, I want to thank you again for having me on. I really do appreciate that from the bottom of my heart.
And it's a gift from the heart too, literally. So
exactly. And I want people to remember, you know, you do what you do, you know, buy the stuff that you have, buy the tchotchkes that you have, support the people that support you. And I support you. I love you to death for helping support us. Please buy a pillow, buy a shirt, buy a tote, do something. Support Mr. Wagner's sponsors, because without him, I wouldn't. Yes, Mission. I wouldn't be able to be on here talking to you today. So I want all your viewers to know that that should be priority one. You know, regardless of what I'm doing today, they need to support you. They need to, you know, go to your website, wherever they need to go, buy a tote, do something, purchase the mission book. Help your sponsors, help you, and buy your merchandise, because without you, I don't exist, truly. So I want to tell you again, from my heart, I really appreciate you having me on. Now,
it's great to have you on board as well, too. And that's why we're here. And of course, you know, you're big about Grindrs. And from what I understand, 47 Global Awards, 22 in TV, and oh my gosh. And the count I got was it's still growing.
Yes, it is still growing. And actually, the count that you have, because we set this up, I think, 7 weeks ago or something.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah, we set this up quite some time ago. We are now at 78 global awards. It has exploded, and we're at 108 nominations.
Wow.
And it just continues to grow. It's completely outpacing anything I could have ever imagined or wished for, of which I am extremely grateful. So I encourage people to go see it. Most people think it's a slasher. It's not. You get through the first 10 minutes of the film, you'll get there's a little bit of blood and a little bit of gore in the first part of the movie. But once you get the idea of where the film's going, you'll actually enjoy it more than you think because it's 20%, a little bit of blood, a little bit of gore. I think the line I used was a little bit of blood, a little bit of body parts, but a lot of giggle.
Oh yeah, and of course it's based on a mistake too. Turning to a criminal and lucrative business venture for a pair of brothers to begin a bloody campaign and bloody rightly is in the British world to
Yeah,
keep booming at the
absolutely.
expense of local town folk. And this is rather unique too. So.
Oh, absolutely. And everybody goes, wow, it's so different. It's like I never thought it would be. B and the, and then they and then they tell me, oh, I watched it like two, three times. And every time I watch it, I see because I put little like Easter eggs in things, like the sign for the town. There's 299.5 people in the town. Well, what's 200? Where did you get a 0.5 from? And I said, you do that on purpose? And I said, of course I did it on purpose. And then spelling population incorrectly. It's population. And the last thing it says is, like a typical tiny little town in the middle of freaking nowhere in the South. It says, drive careful now. But it's just a quirky little film that when they see it, they go, oh my gosh, this is actually funnier than I thought. At first, they get a little squeamish, but then they realize what's really going on because the whole movie starts out purely by accident. And even the second issue starts out by accident. And then it turns into this enterprise, which gets even more intricate and more quirky. And
Oh,
the
and by the
subtext
oh, by the
is
way, what is
hysterical.
that? What is that enterprise, by the way?
Well, they have to dispose of the people that are accidentally and on purpose on both counts, because you can't burn them, there's evidence. You can't bury them, there's evidence. So what they end up doing is I play the butcher. I'm the smart brother, supposedly. Where my half brother calls me a dumbass, I call him the butcher. Well, we never would have been in this position if you hadn't run over the beauty queen of the town. So this is how it all starts, and it just rolls downhill from there and turns into this absolute nightmare where they're just trying to stay ahead of everything because now they've got to dispose of these people. And since I'm a butcher, we end up grinding them up and selling them as specialty ground beef, which comes with a premium price, obviously.
McDonald's, are you listening?
Yes, and everybody loves it. They love it. And I
Oh
go,
my
I'm
gosh.
sorry, we're out. And then I have to go back to my brother and say, I need more beef. We're getting
You sure it's not pink slime?
$50 a pound here. I mean, we're getting premium prices here. Everybody's loving it. And then at one point in the movie, without, giving away everything, in the end, the store is just completely packed with people. There's even a guy from Germany that's there and he's screaming and with his accent going, I want my specialty beef now, schnell, because they love this meat so well, but they have no idea that it's people we're trying to get rid of. And, you know, that's the funny thing. And one part in the film where the where my girlfriend says to me, oh, you want to bring some ground beef over and some sausage and we'll have a meal when you get a chance, because I know you've been working so hard, because I'm trying to keep up with trying to get rid of all this stuff that we don't want to get caught getting rid of.
Oh, my gosh.
And I sit here and I go, oh, no, I'm kind of off the ground beef and the sausage lately, you know, but you kind of get the idea. You know why? Because I know where that's coming from.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of humor in it.
Right. Exactly. And of course, you know, there's ways to help out with the film. Of course, I appreciate you encouraging others to support the Mike Wagner Show. But how do you get people to support your film and hopefully take a bite out of what you've got?
Oh, I love that. Take a bite out of it. Well, I don't want them to go kill somebody and grind them up and eat them. But
yeah, so it's like, you know, we're not going to take really, hearts, kidneys or anything really like that going towards the films. No.
I mean, our budget was, you know, it was tiny. And we got everything covered. But now we're at the point where it's global and we're trying to market it. And we just don't have the funds to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll throw this in there because most people don't know. I'm disabled, have been since 2012, and I've been living out of my car. I actually made this movie out of my car. I'm still living in my car. But
you're taking a break in Orlando right now and under beautiful sunny skies. Yeah.
I put everything into it. And we need some funds to market it, which is called a P&A budget. Publicity and advertising. And we have a GoFundMe, which I think Donna sent you.
Correct. And tell everybody how can he help contribute?
You know what? If you got $2, $3, $4, $5, skip a coffee at Starbucks one day and just throw in $5. You know, it all adds up. You get enough people, it'll get us there. It's not like we're looking for hundreds of thousands of dollars. We're looking for $5,000. That's not a lot. And if a lot of people get together and they all pitch in, we'll get there and we'll be able to market this and we'll be able to get to Grinders too. And the joy of it is people go watch it. They'll go, oh man, I want to see Grinders too. And that's what's going to help us get there. The more we market it, the more people see the movie, the faster we'll get the funds to make Grinders 2, and then we can continue the joy of the Grinders franchise. And we will be having also merchandise in about 6 weeks. I have gotten the rights back to merchandise, so we'll have posters that are signed. We'll have you know, T-shirts, totes, all that kind of stuff, so people can tap into that, and we're going to put that money towards making number 2.
We'll certainly grind that out. In the meantime, where can we find your works? Where can we find more on the film? And where can we find your GoFundMe page?
I think Donna sent that to you.
No, this is for everybody here. It's like, where do you want everyone to send it?
Yeah, you go to GoFundMe and you look up Grinders movie or Grinders, you'll find it. It's right there. Or you can go to Maximus Films, MAXAMUS films.com, and you'll see a lot more information. And here's something that nobody else has done, which I did as a marketing thing to help people go to see the movie. Look, the movie's $2.99 to rent. I mean, it's nothing. You can't go anywhere and get anything for $2.99 anymore.
Right. Uh-huh.
So we've made it very available and affordable for everybody. And we have a raffle going right now till the middle of May. So anybody that goes to watch the film between now and the middle of May will be automatically entered into the raffle, which is free, obviously. And the raffle is going to, we have three prizes that we're going to give away to everybody that goes and sees the film and leaves a comment, gives us 5 stars, you have the opportunity to win the sheriff's costume signed with a certificate of authenticity. The second prize are the 2 blood guns, which I call nicer. Well, this is a little harsh. No, we actually made our own special effects guns, a single shot and a double shot to do some of the special effects that will also be signed and come with a certificate of authenticity because there's only one that we're in the film. Mm-hmm. So they want money now that it's released. And then the third prize is the one script which has signatures on it of our POC, which was our proof of concept, which we shot first, which is 20 minutes long. So it's about 18 to 20 pages, I think. I don't remember exactly. And that's the third prize that we're giving away to, so, you know, to the people that go and do that. And that was how we got the money to get the rest of the film shot, was okay. Doing proof of concept. We're showing, okay. Showing them that.
Okay. And what's the website again?
MaximusFilms.com. MaximusFilms.com.
All right. Well, certainly check that out with the multi-talented actor, producer, award-winning director from South Africa, Andrew Helder, here on the Mike Wagner Show with Grinders. That's on Amazon and a couple more things. What else can we expect from 2024 and beyond, Andrew?
Well, I want to make the sequel. I'm hoping I can get the money together to make the sequel before the end of the year, because the sequel, the second, which is called Grinders T, mm-hmm. T-O-O, Grinders 2. So it's even, and it's quirkier. It's, believe it or not, it's funnier because, and we'll have some names in it. We've got 2 people we're chasing to be in it that are going to do cameos. So we'll have names in it, which are going to be absolutely astounding. Already got global distribution in lock. And that's our goal. I'd love to be able to shoot that by the end of the year and get it out early next year. And then, obviously, I'm going to chase my passion project, A Gift of the Heart. If we're not there yet, well, then we'll just do Grinders number 3. I already have Grinders 2's already done, ready to go, as long as I have the money. Grinders 3 and 4 is already mapped out. So it's just a question of writing them. And I'm very fortunate and gifted by the grace of God that I write exceptionally fast. I can write a script very, very quickly. But, you know, I go through anywhere from 10 to 15 drafts till I get it perfected to where I think we're almost there. And then we push from there, and then we make changes as we go along. Like any production, you know, you find things as you're shooting that you can throw in and change things and manipulate. I mean, and that's the joy of what I do. Is people say, how did you do that just on the fly? I said, because I see something or I hear something that just makes sense, that just really fits. So it's like, we're in the middle of this. Let's just throw that in.
You know, it's got
not like it. A major change. We don't have to bring somebody in. It's just in the course of what we're doing. And, you know, and if I don't have an actor that can do it, I just look around and go, hey, you hold the mic, give the mic to somebody, come here. You know, I'll put one of the crew members in it.
Oh, that's a unique way of doing it. Yeah.
You know, it's like, we don't have time to come back tomorrow and do this, but I need a one-liner to say da 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 da. And this is perfect. And I'll look around, I'll go, hey, you come here. Get makeup, come real quick. This is the line I want you to say, and I want you to walk through and do this. And they do it, and then now they're in the film, you know.
There you go. That's a good way to do it. Yeah.
I'm constantly thinking. I'm constantly looking to improve. So it's like everything that I do is, okay, what didn't I get to do the right way? And how can I improve in the next project? So every project I do, I'm always looking for reasons to improve it, make it better, not only visually, but intellectually, the way it's written, any which way I can. I mean, there's just no end to, for me, improvement. I mean, I will do that my whole life. I will always be looking, even if I won an Oscar, I'd be looking at it going, okay, what was in that film that I didn't like that I could improve on? I'm always looking for a reason to improve it and make it better. So I'm always looking for improvement.
Right. And that's the main important thing. And who do you consider biggest influence in your career?
You know, Jodie Foster, Clint Eastwood, Alfred Hitchcock, Sergio Leone, and I mentioned his name earlier.
Let's see, Joe Don Baker, Martin Scorsese.
Martin Scorsese. Oh, right. Probably in, and Steven Spielberg are in my top. But my group is bigger, but those are my top ones that I draw from. And I take, you know, I hate to say it, but I steal from them. But if you're going to steal from somebody, steal from the best, right?
Right.
That's what I do, is I look at them as a whole and the stuff that they've done, and I look and I analyze, and then I take a piece of Eastwood, a piece of Sergio Leone, a piece of, you know, this director, a piece of this director, a piece of this director, and then I make it Andrew Heller's directorial, you know, animal. But I steal pieces of them that just work for me. Intellectually and the way I view things, and that doesn't take anything away from them at all. They've all been an exceptional influence on my life.
Oh,
and
definitely.
Absolutely brilliant. I mean, they've had lives that I will never have. I'm just not young enough to ever catch any one of them, but they're all brilliant in their own way, and the way they approach their, not only the genres, the way they directed, the way they did things, the way they compiled things, their vision, you know, you get really in depth into, you know, a director isn't the guy who just stands there and tells you what to do. I mean, it's way more complicated and way more convoluted than that, you know, and I get into that depth, that undertone, and the subtext of everything that's there. Otherwise, you just have a shallow project that looks like everything else.
Right, cookie cutters and all that.
Cookie cutter garbage, you know, and I'm just not into that. I want to do straight up entertainment. I want to do something different. I want to entertain you. I want you to remember lines from the movie. I want you to repeat them to people and go, oh my gosh, you got to see this movie. And son of a bitch. That is one of the lines that people, you know, say a lot from Grinders. Simple little line. Everybody says that word all the day. But in context of Grinders, it's just a line that everybody loves. It's like, oh my gosh. Yeah.
What? Of course,
every time he screws up, he says that.
Right. And of course, you know, people do have to watch it without giving away. And what's the best advice you can give to anybody at this point?
About what?
Just anything in general. What's the best advice you can give to anybody at this point?
Anybody about anything in particular?
In general.
If you have one life to live outside of the industry, do what you love. Do it the best way you can. None of us are perfect. You're never, ever going to get anything perfect. You're never going to be able to walk on water, and be thankful, especially if you're doing something that you love, that you get to do it. A lot of people don't, and they negate the fact that they've chained themselves to a life of doing things they don't want to do, and they hate it. You only have one life to live. So if you have one life, yes, it's risky. Yes, it's going to take you time. And yes, you may not get anywhere. But I'm here to tell you, it's taken me 63 years to get here, and I have no regrets whatsoever. I love what I do, and God bless you. I'm behind you 100%. Do what you love. You have one life to live. Make it the best you can. And be thankful for the people around you, like you, sir.
I appreciate it as well, too. That's the best advice I heard from all day from you, Andrew. We're here with the actor, multi-talented actor, producer, director from South Africa with Grinders, Andrew Heller and the Mike Wagner Show. Andrew, very big thank you for your time. You've been absolutely fantastic. Definitely learning a lot from you. Looking forward to having you again soon. Keep us up to date. Keep in touch. Love having you back. And once again, what's your website? How do people contact you? Where can people purchase or check out your works?
Absolutely. And thank you again. And a big shout out and a gift of the heart to all you viewers. And I hope they're there when we bring out my passion project.
And what's the website?
MaximusFilms.com. MaximusFilms.com.
All right. We'll certainly check that out. Once again, Andrew, a very big thank you for your time. You've been absolutely fantastic. Looking forward to having you again soon. Keep us up to date. Keep in touch. We love having you back. Wish you all best. And Andrew, you definitely have a great future. Have you?
Thank you, sir. I appreciate you very much. And I hope people continue to watch you and support you and support your sponsors.
The Mike Wagner Show is powered by Sonic Web Studios. If you're looking to start or upgrade your online presence, visit www.sonicwebstudios.com for all of your online needs. Call 1-800-303-3960 or visit us online at www.sonicwebstudios.com to get started today. Mention the Mike Wagner Show and get 20% off your project. Sonic Web Studios. Take your image to the next level.
Hey everybody, my name is Forbes Riley, and I'm an American actress and a TV host. And I was delighted when I got my copy of Missing, which is Extraordinary Relation of Ordinary People Based on a Real Life Relationship. It's just, it's well written. It's amazing. You know, it talks about a man who has lost his wife and his daughter, and it's very well done. I'm going to highly recommend that you go get your copy of Missing. It is a powerful, exciting read. Mr. Mian Moshe Zia. He is the author of Missing. And I want to give a big shout out and a kiss all the way halfway around the world to my dear friend. Check him out at Mia's website. It's called www.miamoshenzea.com. Missing, available on Amazon. Again, I'm Forbes Riley, and I will see you again soon. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to The Mike Wagner Show. Brought to you by international award-winning author Mia Moshenzea of Missing and powered by Sonic Web Studios. Be sure to join us again on over 40 podcast platforms. And of course, on the MikeWagnerShow.com, HamiltonRadio.net, and Diamonds FM. Don't forget to support our program with a generous donation at the MikeWagnerShow.com. Thanks for listening.